name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from chapter 3 of Colossians. The heading is Rules for Christian Households. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there are no favorites. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be unto the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you once again for joining Gary and me. Now, I think that reading was absolutely appropriate, given that we have been having talks over the last 6 weeks or so from Gabriel Cubby, who has shown quite clearly how marriage and family have been under attack from a satanic quarter. Actually, I can't really put it in any other words. But Gary, we were talking about the other day how in the Herald I read about this Indian couple, and they are nearly 100 and they are celebrating over 80 years of marriage. And interestingly enough, when they were asked, what can you tell us some secrets about a long and happy marriage? There were three things. I can only remember two. But they said, there's going to be a lot of ups and a lot of downs in marriage, and you just have to stick it through. And the problem with many young marriages today, that the people don't understand sacrifice. And that is, you know, it's not like what you see on the movies, you know, you go happily into the sunset. No, when you get married, that's just the beginning. But it's all character building. And then the second thing that I think it was the husband said, that you should listen to the advice of your parents. And I find that very, very interesting, because we're talking about what Gabriel has said over the last 50 or 60 years, this whole individual thing, you know, me generation. You know, it's not cool to have anything to do with your parents, let alone listen to what they say. But it's amazing. I mean, they have been there. They have walked the road. So they have experienced almost everything that you're going to experience. And they do have words of wisdom. And even if it's just to stop you falling into the pits that they fell into, it's a shame that we don't listen. Very interesting. So let's get on and listen to Gabriel. We had this trouble last week, Gary, didn't we, with the button?
Homosexuality creates divisions between the sexes and the generations, and thus destabilizes society. Same-sex people cannot become one flesh and procreate, and therefore cannot form a marriage. The LGBT movement battles for aims it does not want. Only around 2% of the population have same-sex attractions, as all studies agree. Of these 2%, only 80% make use of the new legal institution of civil union and same-sex marriage, at least in the countries where I know the figures. In Germany and other countries, it is a tiny minority of the population who battle, who want to change the culture, who want to change the meaning of marriage, and then they have it and they don't use it. Isn't that strange? The battle for the so-called human right, we see from that, is a strategic manipulation to destroy marriage and family. If gender identity is a matter of choice and feeling, there should be every kind of support for people who want to change from homosexuality to heterosexuality. Yet, research and therapeutic help is suppressed and ex-gays are persecuted. A new study with the title Sexuality and Gender by the leading scholars on mental health and sexuality, Dr. Lawrence Meyer and Dr. Paul McHugh, shows that the claims of gender identity politics are false. These are their results. The belief that sexual orientation is an innate, biologically fixed human property, that people are born that way, is not supported by evidence. And the same applies to gender identity, that this is an innate, fixed human property is not supported by scientific evidence. Only a minority of children who express cross-gender identification will continue to do so into adolescence or adulthood. And non-heterosexual and transgender people have higher rates of mental health problems, anxiety, depression, suicide, as well as behavioral and social problems, substance abuse, intimate partner violence, than the general population. Discrimination alone, it does not account for that disparity. Did you hear all this? It means that the narrative to which we are exposed 24 hours all the time is simply false. It is not true. An ideology that denies reality and the truth of man can only lead into a new totalitarianism. What are the methods of cultural change? Much could be said about the methods of cultural change. To change the fundamental value system, the social structure and basic attitudes of people is a sophisticated process of social engineering on all levels of society. International, national law, change of language, change of school and university curricula, gender training of professionals on all levels, manipulation of studies and statistics, media campaigns, entertainment industry, pornography, subversion of the church. Demonstrations of obscenity in the capitals of this world. And worst of all, and I will speak about this tomorrow, about the sexualization of children in the classroom, the sexualization of children and youth by force of state. I mentioned this document, Yogyakarta Principles, for this definition of gender identity. It was devised in the Indonesian town Yogyakarta in 2070, and it is a blueprint for the totalitarian change of society. It was presented to the world in the UN Palace of Nations to pretend that it was an official UN document, but it is not. Nevertheless, these 29 principles are implemented in the nations of the world step by step. Find it in the internet, you can immediately get it, and you can sort of tick off what has already happened in your own society. Attached is a so-called toolkit with instructions and best practices how to change any given culture. The US government supplies all its embassies with similar toolkits. Money flows in abundance from the United Nations, the European Union, national governments, global foundations. Sexual minorities existing in every country are trained, receive funds and organizational support from the UN and EU network and juridical help. President Obama has appointed Randy Barry as special envoy for LGBT human rights, touring the world and pressuring nations to legalize same-sex marriage and transgender rights. If they don't comply, development aid is cancelled or maybe reduced. The Irish former priest Hugh O'Flaherty, who was the man behind the Irish referendum for same-sex marriage, was recently appointed as the new director of the Fundamental Rights Agency of the European Union in Vienna. So you see, they get their people in place. We will see who will be the next General Secretary of the United Nations. Human token rights is one of the main tickets for the LGBT agenda, but the concept is misused. Human rights were put down in 1948 in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Universal meaning that they should be valid always and everywhere and for every human being on this planet. They were put down to be a bulwark against the unspeakable horrors of World War II that sent millions upon millions of people to their deaths. Now it is a carte blanche for privileges of minorities. Language has a decisive function in the cultural war. For cultural revolutionists, language is not an instrument to communicate truth, but an instrument to manipulate people in order to achieve a certain objective. We haven't got time to go into this in detail. You will find a whole chapter on it in my book. The grammar itself, I know it from German, the grammar itself is changed to make, as they say, women visible in the language, or to wipe out the difference between the sexes altogether. This has taken on absurd dimensions in Germany. Here you see the same principles. Revolutionaries have no respect for what they have received. They have not the nature of a man and a woman, the nature of man, or language. We have not invented our language. It is a holy mystery that we can speak, and we have learned our language from our mothers, and we have to honor our language and be very careful how we use it, that it communicates truth. The second level of the change is the out-hollowing of concepts. We already mentioned some of the key concepts that have been hollowed out and filled with new content. Freedom, do what you want. We have done away with moral limitations and have instead new laws that control our thinking, speech, and behavior. Tolerance is a one way for accepting the new paradigms of the sexual revolution. It does not apply for Christians. Anti-discrimination laws prohibit distinction between right and wrong, between attitudes and behaviors that create a culture of life and those that create a culture of death. Human rights, I've said it already, have become a label for privileges of minorities. Diversity, the wonderful property of creation, has become a label for the deregulation of sexual standards. Even father and mother are to be eliminated from our language and replaced by parent one and parent two. What will become of a culture that does not honor father and mother? I've described the goals, strategies, networks, and methods of the global sexual cultural revolution. I repeat its premises. There is no such thing as man and woman. Killing is a human right, and moral standards are discrimination. Gender ideology paves the way into a new totalitarianism for two reasons. One, if a society gives up to respect reality and to be guided by reason, the most powerful will define what reality is. And second, the annihilation of moral standards for sexuality destroys marriage and family. This creates social chaos. Social chaos calls for a totalitarian state. Strategic implementation is going on behind the scenes, hidden from the eyes of the demos, the very people who are supposed to legitimate the power in a democracy. New laws have been created to limit the freedom of those who refuse to comply. Anti-discrimination laws, equal treatment laws, laws against hate speech, and bans on so-called homophobia, which is the term is alliance itself, because there is no fear behind positions which say there's a danger in this movement. Basic democratic freedoms are at stake: freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of parents to educate their own children according to their values, freedom of therapy, freedom of scientific research, freedom of business. We have all heard of bakers, florists, midwives, and preachers who were forced to quit their business or their profession because they obeyed their own conscience. But there are many more social mechanisms to ensure that people like you and me speak and think and behave politically correct. Social ostracism, name-calling and stigmatizing instead of rational debate, exclusion from public discourse, denial of employment and career, job dismissal, media campaigns, it's called in the social networks shitstorms, disruption of events, physical violence. I can give you examples for all of that from my own experience. The pressing question is, why is all this happening? In whose interest is it? Cui bono is the Latin phrase. Who profits from it? What we see happening is the destruction of everything that gives identity to a person and thus makes him strong: religion, family, nation. It would be foolish to believe that the destruction of identity is an unwanted side effect of politics and strategies that aim at the common good. Even the concept of common good as the orientation point of political action has disappeared from the public discourse. We have seen that the rich and powerful push this agenda globally in every single nation of this earth. We know that the gulf between the rich and the poor is constantly increasing. Fewer and fewer people own more and more of the world's riches. Let's face it, the division of identity is what the governing elites of this world want. The United Nations, the European Union, the billionaires and their foundations, the global corporations, the global NGOs, in short, the global network of governance. Why do they want it? Because these politics reduce world population and create uprooted individuals that are occupied with consumption, sex, and survival. They can be manipulated and controlled. They are unable to stand up against the powerful. Thus, the way is paved to a new world order. This sounds like conspiracy theory. To call something conspiracy theory means to stigmatize the view and the person who puts it forward. If there was a conspiracy, wouldn't that be the ultimate trick? Let's say you have an arsonist in your area, but whoever says there's an arsonist and points to him is considered a despicable lunatic. The recent leak of the email account of the billionaire George Soros has brought to light that the conspiracy theory is not a theory, but reality. 2,500 documents of his Open Society Foundation prove just this. With a multitude of organizations active all over the globe, George Soros is financing the LGBT lobby and their battle for same-sex marriage and transgender rights, campaigns for legalizing abortion and so-called reproductive rights, the criminalization of so-called hate speech, the opening of the borders of Europe for migration, and the global governance of migration, the disparagement of any resistance as homophobia, Islamophobia, and xenophobia.
Okay, I think you get the picture. It's time for the Divine Mercy Prayer, and I think after hearing that, we should all be praying along and praying this prayer. You don't have to be Catholic or Christian to join in, because Jesus is Lord and Saviour of us all, and we all at some stage in our lives need some of the attributes of mercy to help us get through. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Okay, if you are pregnant and feel you've been pressured into an abortion, you don't have to go down that pathway. There are people who can help you, people who will care for you and your child. Help is available also if you are suffering the after effects of an abortion. You are also a victim and need support. Help is available by phoning Pregnancy Counselling Services on 09307 6745. That's 09307 6745. If you are suffering in any of these areas, help is also available by phoning Family Life International on 0800 367 5433. That's 0800 367 5433, or 0800 for life. You don't have to continue suffering. Genuine loving care is available.
Thank you, Gary. Okay, great program again, Gabriel. Thank you for your insight. We really need to know this information. Yes, there is a conspiracy going out there for sure.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads.